Now, the passage of Scripture that we read this morning, the portion selected, will be Revelation chapters 6 and 7. Before we read these chapters, notice in the first of the book, chapter 1 of the Revelation is the great prologue. It has an introduction. It states the theme. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, the theme is given, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. Then chapters 2 and 3 are letters from the Lord Jesus himself written to these individual local churches, seven of them. And each letter concludes by giving a promise to the overcomer and by calling attention to the reader. In addition to the church that would read this letter, the reader, that is the reader of the Revelation, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear," what the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches. Chapters 4 and 5 show us in a special vision the throne room of the universe and the sovereign power of the universe put into the hands of the Lamb of God. Remember when the Lord Jesus approached John the Baptist after his baptism and temptation, and he was coming to where John was baptizing, and John looked up and saw him coming and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." And so the whole of the destiny of creation is put into the hands of the Lamb of God, the Savior, our Lord. That's in chapters 4 and 5. Now we come then to chapter 6. And before we read, let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we recognize that Thou hast invited us to read this book, and Thou hast promised a special spiritual happiness to the reading of the Revelation and to the keeping of that which is written here. And so, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt, by Thy Holy Spirit, illumine this word to our hearts, that we may keep it and that we may cherish Thy word. Bless our tiny ones in the nursery. Bless our children in children's church this morning. Bless us in this room. Open our hearts. May we behold the wondrous things that Thou hast given to us. May our hearts take hold. Eye does not see, ear does not hear, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that Thou hast prepared for those that Thou dost love, but Thou dost reveal them unto us by Thy Spirit. And so we pray that we may give attention to Thy word, and may the Lord Jesus be glorified. It's in His precious name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 6. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and the power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, and heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens of in the rocks, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. And the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Please hold the book open, if you will, for a moment, and notice some very special things that will help us to appreciate this vision. Now, the beasts that are spoken of here, the four beasts, are the living creatures that are the attendants of the throne. This we learned in chapters 4 and 5. They are the ones who actually move the throne, as the book of Ezekiel will tell us. The great passage in the first chapter of Ezekiel and the passage in the 10th chapter called them the cherubims. Isaiah chapter 6 calls them the seraphims. Now, these are the special attendants of the throne. And we learned in the 5th chapter that the Lamb is the one who now holds the book in his hand. The book sealed with 7 seals. Now, a seal, if it is spoken of, the seal itself is the signet. The seal that is made on anything is that which preserves it, keeps it secret, or reveals it with the seal being opened. That is the very privacy of the content, and the 5th chapter shows us that the content of that book could not be looked upon even. No one could even look upon it until the Lamb took it, and he is the one who opens the seals. So then, all authority is in his hand. Then, and before we look at the significance of that which is opened up, look at the first 4 seals. Look at them in order. There's a white horse. Now, white stands for a victory, whoever it is. Whoever rides in the scripture riding a white horse is riding as a victor. And furthermore, he is said to be going forth conquering and to conquer. All the way, and Daniel chapter 2 shows us this, all the way from the time our Lord was here on earth to the present time, there has been a conquest. Never since that day has there been a united world government. It has always been a splintered world government. In fact, in the Daniel passage, it tells us that the feet and the toes were both of iron and clay, and it describes it this way, that the people, even though they're together in their where they live, they are not together and unified in their ideas. And so this is the great social revolution. Now, this social revolution has been growing by leaps and bounds in these days in which we live. Actually, parallel to some of the special things that have been happening in our world, such as Israel going back as a united nation into Palestine, and a government among the nations taking their seat among the nations and actually becoming a power to be reckoned with, along with this, which is a fulfillment of prophecy that the nation of Israel would gather and would not be a splintered nation, a divided nation, but would be a single nation. Along with this has been a constant breakup of nations. And the social revolution has spread across the world. The key word for the revolution would be humanism, which means that man has determined in himself, as Romans chapter 1 shows us, man has determined in himself that he does not need God. He can make his own way. He can make his own decisions without God. And that's exactly what's happening. Now, communism is represented in this, in humanism, socialism, capitalism, all of the isms of our world are represented in this great conquest of the people. Whichever you have, if you go to the extreme politically, if you go to the extreme right, or you go to the extreme left, whichever you do, you will find that you're side by side. You take the most extreme political government that there is in the world, and then you take the, which is very difficult to find, the least government that you find in the world, and you will find. Now, the least government would be anarchy. The extreme government would be a totalitarian government. And you put the two of them together, and you see the great breakup and disintegration of people. A pastor that's gone now from our scene, been gone now for a little while, Dr. Hamilton, lived in Tampa, and he had an outdoor church back in several years ago. And I have a little book of a sermon he preached, and he said, "Bare feet will walk over all of the sacred institutions of this land before it is over with." Well, we've seen a great deal of that happening. Now, this is the conquering, the conquest that's taking place in our world. Sometimes it takes place suddenly. Sometimes there is a kind of an evolution. But whatever happens, the conquest has been going on. And Daniel 2 says that the breakup of world government proceeds the total loss, disintegration, grinding to powder of all world government by the stone cut without hand. So the first horse has been riding, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The second one, terrorism. You will notice what is said about this in verse 4. He's a red horse. He has power to take peace from the earth. This has become so alarming that here in the United States of America, we are building barriers against terrorism. Right here in America. People say this would never happen here. It has been all over the world, but now it's right here in our land where we are afraid because of terrorism. Terrorism is that awful horseman, bloody red horseman, that rides and takes away the peace of our world. Then the third horseman is given in verse 5, and he's a black horse with a pair of balances in his hand. Incidentally, the beginning of the study of the four horsemen is found in Zechariah chapter 6, and there they're called the chariots that the Lord himself sends forth. He meets with his chariots, and he sends them out across the world. Now, these balances And it talks about a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and do not hurt the oil and the wine. Now, the oil and the wine are the luxuries of life. To have some oil, to prepare food, to have wine, to drink, these are the luxuries. These are not hurt. And this is the great paradox of our economic situation, that we have both inflation and depression, and that this strikes in a horrible way across the board. It takes a great deal of money to purchase the ordinary needs of life, but luxuries seem to go at a bargain, and that there are plenty of them. An amazing thing that people who do not have any bread to eat can still have luxuries. And who would deny them these luxuries? They cannot buy the bread, and so they sit in a cold house and have luxuries around them. Small comfort it is, but there it is nevertheless. And this is what has happened and has increased through the years. Since the Second World War, the increase has been something fantastic. Most nations are more than 100% in inflation. Our nation, I don't know where we are if we were to tell the truth about it, but one thing's certain, you just have to walk down the street and you will find both luxury and great poverty side by side. Then there is one more horse that rides, and that's found in verse 8. He's called a pale horse. From this word we get our word chlorine, which is a very deadly gas, and it's in liquid form. The pale horse, his name is identified. He is death. But look at the kinds of death: sword, hunger, death, and beasts. Now, the death that is spoken of here would be the death not so much of old age as it would be of disease. Sword, hunger, disease, and the beasts of the earth. Four terrible ways of cutting down on the population, hitting population of the earth. Now, this violence, lawlessness, and chaos, these are the things that follow. Well, now you begin with a social revolution and continue on through terrorism and inflation, depression, there's certainly going to be an extreme of violence and lawlessness and chaos. And Thessalonians tells us that the lawlessness, the chaos, is going to come very close to the end of the time. Now, the fifth seal in this sixth chapter tells us, and I'll just say one thing about this. The souls of those who are under the altar, and they were told to rest because there was going to be continued tribulation. That is, more persecution was going to take more saints. More were going to die for their faith. And so there was going to be, throughout this whole period of time, there were going to be many who would die for their faith. Then the sixth seal. And the sixth seal, and we read in Mark this morning just a few words about the sign of the coming of the Lord. When he is actually coming, there will be the breakup of all the natural order of things. The sun, the moon, the stars, and earthquakes, all of these things will take place in a sudden thing. Now, there are a lot of people who say, oh no, that cannot be. Second Peter tells us that only scoffers say that such a thing could not happen, because they are willfully ignorant that the Lord has already done some of these things in the past. Then Hebrews chapter 12 says that the Lord promises and determines that he is going to shake not only the earth, he has once shaken the earth, but now he is going to shake both heaven and earth. And so this sixth seal is the opening of the day of the Lord. Now, all of these seals are opened by the Lamb, which means that the administration of God's government is in his hand. He is the reigning Lord, and he is doing these things. I say, if you look in the book of Zechariah in chapter 6, you will see a little bit clearer that the Lamb himself, the Lord of glory, is the reigning sovereign, and Corinthians tells us he will reign till the last enemy is destroyed, which will be death. Then that brings us to the seventh chapter, and please notice that this seventh chapter opens like the fourth chapter opens. After this, in the fourth chapter it says, in chapter 7 it says, after these things I saw. Now, the thought here is that certain visions were given to John. And the vision was given in sequence. But it does not mean that what is happening take place in sequence. For instance, all that was happening in the fourth chapter was going on eternally. All that happens in the fifth chapter takes place at the ascension of the Lord. And so when he takes over the reins of government, all of these things happen. But at the same time these things are happening, as the sixth chapter shows, the opening of the seals, the seventh chapter is a look behind the scenes at God's protection of his own. How the Lord protects his servants. And this behind the scenes look is stated in a single verse in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." There are two special visions in this seventh chapter. And you will notice that the first one says, after these things, and verse 9, after this I beheld. So then, there is a two-part vision in this seventh chapter of God's dealing with his own people. This is so precious a thought, even though we can only spend a few moments with it, but if you'll hold your Bible open, you will see something special. Now, the administrator of the throne, the Lamb, is sending forth his forces. All his forces are at work. All forces are in his control. And he is determined to bring about the complete renovation and the complete deliverance of this earth. And so, but at the same time, he takes care of his own. Ezekiel has a word on this. They were about to destroy Jerusalem. Ezekiel is watching. And suddenly a command is given. Send the man with the inkhorn to mark all of those who sigh and cry. All of the servants of the Lord, mark them. And so everything was held in abeyance. In this seventh chapter it says, hurt nothing, make no move until the servants of God are sealed. In Ezekiel it says, when the destroyer went out and flung his fire, none of the servants that had been marked none of God's people that had been marked were hurt by the destroying fire. Here he says, do not touch the servants of God. They will be sealed in their forehead. Now remember, sealing is for preservation and for privacy and for an absolute authority over what happens to them. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And so they're sealed. Who is sealed? It says the 12 tribes of Israel. If you go to the New Testament, you will find that the word Israel is used in two different ways. God is not through with the nation of Israel. He is still dealing very strongly with the nation of Israel. And Romans chapter 11 will say, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. But then again, the word Israel is used of all of God's people, the born-again ones. And they're called the Israel of God. And they all belong to the 12 tribes. So then, the servants of God are sealed. If we want to find out what that seal is, Ephesians will tell us it is the seal of the Holy Spirit of God. That brings us then to the second powerful and great picture that is given here. After this, oh yes, all during this time, and look how much time has passed by. As men count it, 2,000 years. As God counts it, less than two days. But the time that is going by, and the Lamb is ruling, and there is a disintegration of human government, all of this time, out of every kindred and people and nation and tongue, the saints of God are gathering in heaven. Many, many times I've been to a funeral service, and if it's a funeral of a saint of God, and their testimony is that of a saint, I love to read that passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians that says, we know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, that's not talking about the future. That's talking about leaving this life. Oh, saint of God, don't fear. However we leave this life, we step into eternity with God. Oh, bless the Lord. We step into eternity with Him. And even though the Lamb of God is busy as the great ruler of the universe, there's another picture. It says the Lamb is the shepherd of His people who have been safely brought home. Thessalonians calls them those who sleep in Jesus. Now the time is going to come for the resurrection, but before the resurrection, at this present hour, when there is great turmoil on this earth, the saints of God that are gathered with the Lord, the Lamb leads them, and He wipes away all tears from their eyes. Oh, blessed picture. Oh, glorious picture. I cannot help but note what Bunyan wrote as he told the story of Christian and Hopeful. He said, I watched them come to the river, and when they crossed the river and the gates opened to receive them, and they went in, welcome, welcome, and they were given the white robes, and they go into the city of God. And Bunyan writes, I could wish to have joined them. This world is not my home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Oh, yes, while we're here, we have work to do. Oh, Lord, help us to work. Oh, Lord, help us to be watchful and prayerful. Oh, Lord, help us, we pray, that we may constantly be aware that we're sealed. The sealed of God, sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And leaving this life, we do not go to a closed room. No, we cross the bridge into the presence of the Lord. To depart and be with Christ is very far better. Oh, bless the Lord. Now, that means then that now we're safe and secure, sealed by God. And so we may do our work not fearing any of the terror of this world, not fearing at all, but at the same time looking forward as saints of God have looked from the very beginning, looking for the city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God.